We're Royal Honey, and you're listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. There's a comedian talking about him and Michael J. Fox. You know the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, BillDeCine.com/radio, XRP altrockradio.co.uk across the pond, and our friends in the north, altrockradio.ca, and rootaroo.radio.com in California. I think I hit them all. my name is Bill. This is episode number 481, and with me tonight is Shy Kennedy from the band Whorehound. What's up, Shy?
Hello.
So, Shy is also, do you have a title in the Descendants of Crom realm?
No. So I do most everything. So I don't know. Emperor. Just, I guess, producer, or it's just my thing. I'm the organizer.
I think I'm going to dub you Emperor. So let's learn a little bit about you and Whorehound. First of all, let's get this out of the way because I know people are going, Whorehound? Do you want to explain the name Whorehound?
Whorehound is, do you know what a whorehound is or what whorehound is?
I looked it up a while ago and I know it's not what I originally thought it was, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay. So whorehound is actually a plant. It's a medicinal plant. People use the properties for helping, breathing and sore throats and that sort of thing. So it has that like witchy vibe to it, using an herb for your band name. It has the stoner rock vibe to it, but it's also, you know, not your typical, witch doom, bands, you know, like, or like the, you know, like, I hate saying the names, but like, you know, all the bands that have like the words bong, mountain, black, goat, witch, you know, that type of thing. We were trying to stay away from that type of thing.
Now, when you're saying witch, are you talking like the Wiccan religion?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I don't want to get too personal, but do you follow that?
I call myself a heathen and a pagan, all of the time. I would say I am as much as a witch as anybody could be, but I'm not like, I don't know. I don't play a witch, or I don't assume that I'm like special or magical, but I use, you know,
the
supplements, and I'm really into understanding the earth and all of that. But right.
that's what I wanted you to say, because most people, when they think witches, think the burning at the stakes in Salem and
right. I mean, all of that stuff happened, but it happened to people that just try to use things that we have naturally. And you know, if you spoke up against something that wasn't logical, then you were a witch. No, that's not, you know. And then, you know, some people go to like the Halloween imagery of what a witch is, you know. No, I'm a human and I'm really connected with the earth, but I'm not a witch. And the guys in the bands are definitely not witches or sorcerers or anything like that. We don't believe in magic or anything like that. It's just the overall idea of energy and you know, it's kind of like
interacts.
An overall paganistic view of the world versus, you know, any other structure. Yeah, I don't practice anything. I just try to be a good person and you know, kind of participate in the world where I need to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk music. Is the last album, is it pronounced Holocene?
Yes, that's correct.
So tell us a little bit about the album and like the recording process. Was there anything really cool or really odd that happened during that time?
Actually, everything was pretty, I don't know, easygoing. We wrote that record with, you know, the four of us, and it had been the longest lineup. Our lineup has changed over the first couple years, actually, dramatically. We kept having people move on to, you know, like different jobs in different states and stuff. So we kept changing the lineup. But that lineup was for Holocene was the first time we'd been, you know, had steady people in the band for a while. So we were really able to start meshing together, and there was a chemistry and writing. And so I guess if anything was odd, was that it went really smoothly.
Yeah, I could see you saying that's odd, because I have heard some interesting recording stories.
Right. So, but we recorded that just like we recorded the first record, which was self-titled. We worked with Matt Shore. He calls it the War Room. and he has worked with a lot of Pittsburgh local bands, and it's pretty amazing. Like, he doesn't really charge much, and he's really into, like, you know, whatever the band's doing, he like really gets into their sound and everything. So everybody gets a really great product from him. And the guys play live together, so they're all in one room together playing. You know, if someone screws up, you have to start over type again.
So you're not doing the individual tracking.
Right, right. And then I go in later and record my vocals. So we did it very much like we did the first one. I think, like I said, you know, having the lineup being together for a while, that helped us like be more cohesive in our writing. We were all very much, we wrote together, like everybody wrote something, you know, and it was very collaborative, and that was really fun to do. That's the best part of music, is whenever everybody really gets into it and can write their own parts, or even help the other people write their parts, because when you just have one person kind of orchestrating it all, you just get one person's view, you know?
Right. Now, did this, like, did each person like bring their own like skeleton to the table, and then everybody build upon it then? Or
No, you know, we wrote everything, and we still do, really. Brendan, our guitarist, he will come up with riffs, he'll record stuff, and usually everything spawns from one riff he'll bring in. Like, he won't write a full song, he'll just, you know, collect riffs, and when he comes and brings something, if we all start like you know, hopping into it, which almost always happens, we then start writing off of that. So then, you know, Brendan would write a riff, and then, you know, we'd say, hey, we like this, but can we, you know, do this part to it? And then Nick would write something that would come, you know, to like transition to the next one, or, you know, and we just write off. It's kind of like a jam session, you know, starting with one riff. But like, we all write our own parts, but like, if anybody hears something in their head, they, you know, they don't hesitate to tell the other person, because we're, you know, we try not to, you know, clamp up and say, you know, get stuck in our own, you know, minds. We help each other at it. So,
it's an ego-free zone.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Since we're talking about the album, how can people get a hold of a copy of that?
So we have a Bandcamp page. We, you know, we typically use that, since each of our releases are on different labels. So it's not just like a one-stop shop anywhere else but our Bandcamp right now. But Holocene was released on Doomstew Records. And you can go to their website. You can go to our Whorehounds Bandcamp, which is pro-sludge.com, or, you know, Bandcamp, Whorehound, you know. But yeah. It's on all the streaming services, and, you know, you can get it digitally. We have it on vinyl, cassette, and CD.
So I know you have an important, well, I mentioned earlier, you have Descendants of Crom coming up really in about a week, right? The 20th?
Yeah, it's not this weekend, but next weekend. So it's coming up here soon, like 10 days.
And what we'll do is we'll get into a little bit more about that show in the second segment. But I just wanted to keep it fresh in our minds before I start giving you my oddball questions.
Okay.
So if I was going to go on tour with Whorehound and just, like, I don't know, interview you and do like the Almost Famous thing. You've seen that movie, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. I did.
What would the soundtrack to the tour sound like? So when we're jumping from city to city to city, what would we be listening to on the bus or the van?
I have no clue. I've never had a question like this. Okay. I think it depends on what vehicle you're in, because we take two vehicles. So in I usually hop in the van with JD, and you're going to probably hear like thrash music. So I would say that's kind of like, you would hear like moments of thrash and then like really sleepy parts, because sometimes we're just really tired and quiet and have everything shut off. And then, I don't know, the Brendan and Nick mobile would probably be like, they're just always listening to random stuff. So it'd probably be something, I don't know, slow and doomy, just trudging through. I've never thought about this type of question.
Well, see, really all I did was ask you who your influences are, but worded it differently.
Oh, no, no. So we won't listen to our influences usually. Usually it'll, we'll pepper them in, but you know, like, you know, on tour. Oh, well, this is like two separate questions for me, I guess I'm putting out there. I don't know what our soundtrack would be. As a band together, we're so different. And as a band, our individuality is so different. We're like four complete different people. So, if there was a soundtrack, everybody would have headphones in and get to listen to whatever they wanted to. That would be my answer.
Okay.
Our influences are also very scattered because the four of us, we all unite in metal, but we all have like a way different metal background of what we listen to. Some things cross over, some popular things or, you know, but, yeah, we're all very different. But I think like anything, okay. So there's Sabbath worship, obviously, Black Sabbath is, you know, that's, you know, who we, nothing would have, ever accumulated to this. And they're still better than most bands that have come since them trying to, you know, kind of interpretate that type of music. So, Black Sabbath, I think we all love the Melvins. We all really liked Alice in Chains and, you know, anything from like the 90s grunge that was really, you know, more dark, we were all into.
One of my favorite bands that I used to follow around in this in the scene was a band called Cage. They were from Katanning. They definitely had an Alice in Chains vibe to them. But I was all over the place, though. Like, I listened to that, and then there's a band called Doppler Effect. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Okay.
They're kind of Southern rock, bluesy kind of band.
Mm-hmm.
They were, those two bands, if they were playing somewhere, we were there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, but, see, we rarely unite on anything. Two or three of four of us would, you know, maybe go to a concert together. Sometimes like when bands that we've played with comes back, we'll all go just because, you know, just to support them. But we rarely unite on anything like large, you know, like, so for instance, Nick and Brendan went to see Alice in Chains and Korn. And I was like, nah. And JD was like, nah, thanks, you know. But then when I said I was getting tickets to see Uncle Acid and King Diamond, they were like, yeah, have fun, you know. They like Uncle Acid, but they would never go see, you know, King Diamond, that type of thing. So we all kind of have our own things. But there are a few bands we all, you know, we all appreciate.
This conversation is going to tweak itself really well for what I had mentioned to you, that I wanted to make sure I talked about something important. So Cage and Doppler Effect, and there was a band called Sundog, and After the Fall, who was actually called, their bass player and drummer were in a band called Hybrid back then. So 15 years ago, what will be tomorrow once this is released, that was the very first Pennsylvania rock show. And the band After the Fall, really the drummer, Matt Franny. Are you familiar with Matt? He plays in a ton of bands.
I don't know him personally.
Well, he plays in, he was playing in Super Monkey. He plays in Dimwit. He plays in After the Fall. He plays in A Common Crown. He plays in Silk Nine. He played on somebody's recent recording. I can't remember the name of the band right now, which is terrible because I'm supposed to be interviewing them. But he's all over the place. If you've heard of the Rock for Life concert series, that's his. He runs
that. Oh, cool. Very cool. So,
but without him, what I do would have never happened. And without the lead singer from the band Cage, who actually brought the microphone to the first show, it wouldn't have happened.
Nice.
So,
well, congratulations.
It's been a long run. And we're on episode number, this is 481. We should hit 500 in January. So I'll be doing another celebration then, but
very cool.
Anyway, I wanted to throw that out. Let me give you another oddball question. My skills of segueing are terrible, but if there was an apocalyptic episode and there's a handful of people left on Earth and one song from every band survives, which one of your songs would you want to survive to help with the repopulation of Earth, and why?
Help with the repopulation of Earth? Yeah,
read into that however you would like.
That's funny because a lot of what I write is about the world ending because humans are jerks. So this is funny because a lot of them could work. But I'm going to, so you said repopulate specifically. So I'm going to go with the sexiest track we have, which would be Anastatica. It would get people in the mood. I preach in a lot of the other songs about, you know, how we can be better and all that other type of thing. But, you know, repopulation, you need a little bit of a little bit like a blues lick, a slick blues lick, you know, that swings a little. And that would be Anastatica.
Okay. See, I told you I have some odd questions. This next one, I guarantee you've never been asked. So if I was flipping through my social studies book and I came across a page that had information about Whorehound on it, what would that page be about?
It wouldn't be in a social studies book anywhere or any history book. Maybe like a metal encyclopedia. Hopefully, like we would be worthy of that in the future. But yeah, so nothing is ever really good in social studies, right? It's all bad history. It's all somebody recording their point of view.
That's true.
Whorehound would never get a mention. We're too underground.
We'll see.
Maybe if there was a revolution, we would be mentioned. But
I'm going to upload this to archive.org, which is what I use to hold the files for the podcast. So as long as the internet's going to exist, that file's going to be there. Because that's what they do. They're archiving the internet. So 100 years from now, somebody might listen to this and go, huh, and look you up on whatever the internet is then and find you. So let me give you one more question, and then I'll let you talk about the song, The Kind, that we're going to play. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit about Descendants of Crom. If we were to play one of your songs backwards, what would we hear?
Satan, definitely. But he wouldn't be telling you to kill your mother or rape anyone. He'd be telling you to, like, wise up. Hell is overrun. He'd be telling you to be kind of other people. Yeah, that's what you would hear backwards.
That's my default question for metal bands and country bands when I interview them.
Interesting.
Because the joke goes, what would I hear? What would you hear if we play a country song backwards? And that's, you know, you get back with your wife, you dog is still alive, your truck is running. And then, you know, there's the whole Dee Snider thing from the 80s where he was in court. But, okay, so what can you tell me about the song The Kind?
The Kind was one of the last songs we wrote for Holocene. So it felt like on our first record, we kind of had like, not like a rock ballad, but like, you know, that song that kind of champions on and kind of cheerleads more. World to Come would have been the first records, like, you know, pep song or whatever you would call it. And then The Kind was that for us on the second album. We were writing, you know, we didn't have any concepts in mind. We just kind of wrote. And then, you know, I wrote the lyrics along with what I was feeling from the music. You know, I had no agendas or pre-written lyrics or anything like that. So just the music, the riffs, the energy behind them, they made me feel very passionate. Like they kind of revved me up, and that's kind of what that song came out to be. The Kind is, all of the people out there doing the right things and fighting. And I'm not saying the people that are nice and opening doors for each other. Cause like there are a lot of people that are kind to each other, but they're jerks deep down and they don't do anything to really help. The Kind are the people that are out there making sure the world keeps working in the most positive way. And, there's a part, you know, in the song where I kind of growl, you know, The Kind will survive, you know, and that's the theme of the whole song. So Okay. It's kind of like an uplifting to everything else I'm saying and the rest of the record, you know, where it's kind of, you know, we're going down, people. This is, you know, our last chance. You know, we have to like really work to get this back together and, you know, that type of thing. This is kind of like, okay, well, yeah, it is falling apart, but we can really at least, you know, be better people at the end of it all.
So the people you're singing about and the kind are the ones that are going to survive and listen to that one song from every band.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to The Kind by Whorehound, and I'm going to pair that with another brand new song from Nine Stitch Method off of, and I'm going to botch this album name, Jaywalking Somnambulist. Somnambulist. Good luck.
A somnambulist is a streetwalker.
Wow, there you go. That makes sense then. Jaywalking Streetwalker. It is track number 3. It is called Sleep 2. So we're going to hear Sleep 2 from Nine Stitch Method and Whorehound's The Kind. And we'll be right back to talk about Descendants of Crom with Shy. Thank you.
This is Lou Lombardi from the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and you're listening to the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned in to episode 481 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight is Shy from Whorehound and Descendants of Crumb that we're going to discuss here shortly. You just heard the song The Kind by Whorehound and Nine Stitch Method's song Sleep 2 off of their brand new album that I botched, so I'm going to let Shy say that on the spot. It was Jaywalking
Somnobilist.
Thank you. I'm never going to be able to say that. So I promised and I kept pointing out that we were going to talk about Descendants of Crumb. And I'm going to ask you about the name, just like I started off when we talked about the band. Where did the name come from?
So it's in Pittsburgh and I wanted it to have some kind of Pittsburgh branding on it without being, too cheesy, like Iron City Metal Fest or, steal something, that type of thing. Right. So, growing up, I really liked, and not so much comics or anything, but I really just liked the cheesy, Conan movies that they had made from based off of the comic.
Yes.
So, with Arnold Schwarzenegger and crew. So they did a few of them and, I just really liked it. I don't know why. It's super cheesy and I still like it to today. Like, even though it's very dated. It's fantasy, so it's not dated. I think I don't get into a lot of fantasy situation, but I really just loved the thing. And, I don't know how familiar you are with the folklore behind it, but, he worshiped the God of Steel.
Okay.
And the God of Steel's name was Crumb. So the idea of being descendants of the God of Steel, descendants of Crumb. So that's where I got that from.
I like it.
it's very cheesy, but I love it. Like, it's definitely grown on me. I was actually very nervous to do something like that because I knew it, a lot of people wouldn't get the reference, right? Not everybody's going to get that. But the people that do really get into it, you know, they think it's cool. And sometimes it's a lesson for people, just like the listeners right now. If they haven't heard about that before, then now they'll get it. Or they'll piece it together. You know, maybe they do know the reference and just, you know, it's been 20 years or something. So
I am trying to remember. There was in the one, man, I can see the movies in my head. There was the one where he's saving a princess, I think.
Yes, yeah.
And then there was the thief with him that was always, he was a terrible thief, but I'm old, but I remember that.
yeah. So they were all thieves in the beginning.
Okay.
That's how he learned how to get around. Like, he was a kind of orphaned type of thing. So he learned to get around and he ended up with other thieves. But you're right. There was, like, you know, a thief and a wizard and, you know, the girl, you know, was in each one of them.
Wasn't the wizard cross-eyed?
Well, there's a different wizard in each one.
Okay. I remember one, like, straggly beard and cross-eyed.
He would, like, do that on purpose, though. I don't think that was, like, actually the actor. I think that was the character.
But, yeah, that's about the length of what I remember. So, it's September 20th, and where is it being held?
So it starts on September 20th as the, I call it a pre-gala. It's like a pre-fest idea. That'll be at Howler's and it's half a day. So it'll start in the evening and end kind of like, you know, around 12:30-ish, you know, 1 a.m. So that's at Howler's in Bloomfield. It's a smaller capacity venue compared to the rest of the festival. So it's going to be like a limited seat thing. You know, whoever gets there first or bought tickets, they'll get in there, but I started doing a pre-fest type of night, especially to help people coming in because a lot of people will travel in for this, bands and fans included. And so it kind of gives them something to do the night before, you know, if they're just coming in for the festival. The rest of the event is at Kativo. That's in Lawrenceville area of Pittsburgh. That is all day Saturday and all day Sunday. When I say all day, 4 p.m. and on. And there's two stages for that one. So a band will play upstage and then downstairs and back and forth. There's like 5 minutes between each set so people can get to the next stage. There's no overlap in the music or anything. So there's about 15 bands each full day. And then there's 5 bands on the Friday evening.
Are there any bands that you... I don't want you to... I want you to name a couple bands, but I don't want you to make people think that you're eliminating them from conversation. So I don't know how to word this.
So this is what I tell everybody, because it's the honest truth. I pick all of the bands. So in some way, I'm excited about each band for one reason or another, or they just kick ass type of thing. You know, but a lot of the bands, the idea of me picking all the bands is because that way I can control a good mix. You know, if you have a few other people help you, then, you know, some of the bands are going to start becoming redundant in sound. But all of these artists, it's like a big, you know, just like shaking a whole bunch of dice and throwing them out and see what comes out. There's punk. There's a little bit of hardcore. There's some death metal, but those are the smaller amounts. It's a lot of stoner rock, hard rock, psychedelic rock, doom, sludge. So it's a good mix. Basically, like, the ingredients for these bands are just to be heavy underground DIY type of feel to them. They all have to be original artists. They all have to have their own music and their own style. And the idea is just to bring them all together. So I love and adore all of these bands. I've worked with a lot of them. A lot of them I've heard good things about and they're up and coming. So, you know, just to welcome them into Pittsburgh and give them, you know, a good introduction to the scene.
I am looking over the list and, I am familiar with quite a few of the names, not all of them. Icarus Witch stands out, Brimstone Coven. Let's see. Riparian, Who else on here have I heard of? First Angel Media. They're not banned, but I'd see the logo. I know I saw more. Now I got to go back through. Oh, Argus. I kind of saw them once. They were playing one of the Twist of Fate shows at Mr. Smalls, and I watched it through the live stream.
oh, I got you. Okay, like a Facebook stream or something?
Well, they do Metal Edge. Metal Edge, PGH.com, which is all metal music streamed on radio station 24/7, all Pittsburgh bands. And when they, once a month, Twist of Fate does a show at Mr. Smalls on the, what's the smaller stage? The Funhouse.
Right.
And they stream it live. It's video and audio. So it's
that's interesting. It's pretty cool.
Let's see. Is there anyone else on the list? Okay, maybe there's some bands here I need to look up.
Yeah, and that's a good part of it, right? So it's hard to pull people in to come see these bands if they've never heard of them before. But the reason why I picked these bands are because they need to be more well-known. And, you know, I sprinkle some more familiar names in there. You know, it's all a formula of trying just to get it, you know, just right to be as DIY underground and unsigned, if you will, as possible. But, you know, slowly but surely, you know, there's bigger names. Solace, Valkyrie, ASG, Argus, Brimstone Coven, even at this point, they've all been around for a few years and, you know, touring a lot of cities and, you know, making a name for themselves. They're still not large or anything, you know, or big, but they're great musicians and they're really, you know, it's what you hope for all of these other bands, you know, in the long run, that they get this chance to, you know, do a few tours a year, go to Europe and all of those things, you know, so that the other bands are just as good as those, you know, the headlining bands. All of these bands are great. It's just, you may have not heard of them yet. So come out, you know, and try it. Try something new. I put my like stamp of approval on all of this, and I don't know if that means much to anybody, but if you came, you would start coming to all Black Seed shows if you enjoyed this.
Ah, yes, Black Seed. I wanted to talk about that too. So you do some graphic design with Black Seed, correct? And
so Black Seed,
and it's kind of a label, and there's a lot of stuff encompassed into that, right?
Yeah, so I started with Black Seed Records. It was a DIY label. It started out as a noise label, but it ended up being like heavy underground bands, just like bands that are playing this festival. Some of them will be on Black Seed. Some of them have been on Black Seed, especially a lot of the members have crossed over or whatever. Inhaler has been, I've issued two of the releases so far. So it's this type of music, you know, underground, heavy, original stuff. Some of it's a little heavier than others, you know, it's a variety still. But I started that earlier than Black Seed Design. I was going through graphic design courses and I finished and I wanted to start like an identity under like graphic design. And I still really liked the Black Seed idea. So I had Black Seed Records and I had Black Seed Design. But then when I started stepping in booking and promoting and doing PR and all those other things, it's kind of going under one umbrella and I'm working on that now. And it's just going to be Black Seed Services. And then you can go to the design, the label, you know, whatever you need, the PR to get to where you need. But I'm going to be offering all of those things. It's kind of like, I didn't mean for all this to happen, but like, I just started doing it, you know, and
I do know that's how this happened.
And yeah. And I just enjoy it. So
I am. I've had people ask me about things like management and becoming a label. And as our conversation is going on tonight, I don't have time for that.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm glad that there are people that can do that, like yourself and, Dakota from, Devil Inside and, you know, all the little labels that are around Super Monkey. You know, all of those are awesome. RFL Records, my friends After the Fall are signed with them. You know, it's cool to see the scene pull together and help each other out, which is really what those little labels are all about as well.
Right. Yeah. We're not making money or anything like that. We're just being a part of somebody else's creation. And that's what makes you you only do it for bands you believe in type of thing. You know, it's not something that's sustainable unless you have that passion to do it, basically. And it's a lot of work, you know, it's a labor of love. And that's why they're so great, you know, because you have these people that just care so much about it.
So what's the one last thing that you would want to tell my listeners about any of the stuff we talked about tonight?
Descendants of Crom, just the purpose of it. So, you know, I guess you could probably get from my overall tone of everything. I just really want Pittsburgh to have something cool like this. And I want it to be a thing. And this is the third year, so I guess it's starting to become a thing. But it's not a cult. You know, I want people to come and feel welcome to be introduced to new music, to come support some of the local bands that they do know. You know, some of these bands are local. A lot of them are regional. A lot of them come through a lot. And then, you know, you probably don't notice them now, but you know, if you came out to see them, you'll notice, you know, it's like when you meet somebody and then you start seeing them around everywhere, that type of thing, you'll start noticing them and you'll see them, you know, booked at Gooskies or Howlers or the Moose, Smiling Moose. So come on out. It's fun. It's a good time. It's a good environment. It's very peaceful and chill. People are staying all day and they're pretty responsible and it's indoors and there's AC. There's going to be a lot of bands with merch, some vendors, that type of thing. And it's a good weekend. You'll run into people that you know and you'll meet people. So I just encourage people to come out and support all of the bands.
Very cool. So this has been episode number 481. I'd like to thank Shy for coming on.
Thank you, Bill.
And we're going to probably do this again, I think. I have a second podcast. We'll talk about that. But for those of you that are like to follow the Pennsylvania Rock Show around, I do have a bunch of shows lined up for you. And like normal, I don't have my website pulled up, so give me a moment. Hey, so next week we have Inco Fido on the 20th, which is the first night of Descendants of Crom. So go to Descendants of Crom and then listen to the replay of Inco Fido, but don't tell them I said that. Gunpowder and Lilac on the 27th, which is an acoustic band, with a front man from, Hellfire Music or Hellfire Band out of Ohio, Akron. And then the front woman from the band Between or Among Thorns. So it's a neat mix, and you would actually expect them to be playing metal because both of those were metal bands, but they're doing acoustic songs. So you need to check them out. And then October 4th, we're going to go a little further down on the age bracket and talk with Kelber. It's a very young band, but they've been around for a while. On October 11th, Fear of Fish Studios will be here. Nagin on the 18th, Samantha Sears on October 25th, Adam Fitz on November 1st, Animus, which will be very shortly after their first show together. That is November 8th. Skies of Terra, November 15th. Mr. Lisp from Philadelphia on November 22nd. The Rust Project, November 29th. And Scarlet Sky on December 6th. That was a mouthful. So make sure you check us out each and every Friday on PARockShow.com. Check out the other podcasts that support the local scene at podcastyourscene.com. And if I don't have any, if you know of a podcast that supports the scene that I don't have listed there, point it out to me so I can get them at it. Yeah, I need to come up with a better outro. My name is Bill. This is episode 481. Make sure you check out Descendants of Crom on September 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And go to Whorehound's Bandcamp and find them on Facebook and give them a like. And we will catch you next week.
like an echo calling, screaming through the back of my mind. They better serve in the finest fashion, holding on till no one gets out alive. All the dreams played by nightmares, promises shattered like glass. Stand tall, stay strong, but no matter what, I can't forget the past. You can't forget the past. Your aspirations fall upon deaf ears. Such is mine, and I will hold on to everything that drives me. There is no fear. Not a monitor, I am a man who's wise. This whip will move, believe no scars. Take these shackles and bound them to yourself. Run in the water like the wind.